Welcome to Farm to Table Talk, where we talk about our food and how it's grown. I'm your host, Roger Wasson. Plant genes can be modified with technology to produce certain traits. This is genetic engineering, or is popularly referred to as GMO. Whatever is your personal view on GMOs, they are probably here to stay. Future focus will be on safety and transparency and coexistence between farms using GMO crops and those that are not GMO farms. As a result of the labeling law passed by Congress, foods will within 2 years be identified as to whether they include genetically engineered ingredients. Exactly how that information is made available to consumers is still being worked out, but it will be worked out. Another thing has come to pass. Weeds are in fact becoming resistant to glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup. So new genetically engineered seeds have been developed that are resistant to replacement herbicides like dicamba or 2,4-D. Many critics and people concerned about glyphosate are glad to see that its use may start declining. Commodity crop farmers, especially of corn and soybeans, are glad that replacements for glyphosate are becoming available. However, these new products could pose a greater challenge to the non-GMO farming neighbors since they are more prone to drift onto neighboring crops and vegetation, and that could kill them. To address this risk, the Save Our Crops Coalition was formed, and this coalition of non-GMO farmers set out to work with the EPA and the biotech and plant protection companies to be sure that they could coexist and not have their specialty or organic crops destroyed by applications of these new replacements. Differences of opinions on genetic engineering and pesticide use are usually battles in Washington, D.C., among government officials and lobbyists. Well, can there be a better way where large companies can give a good neighbor policy as high a priority as profit maximization? Well, we have an example of that happening in this Farm to Table Talk. The Save Our Crops Coalition reached out to biotech plant protection companies, and in at least one case were successful in finding a compromise that was good for all sides. To share this example of a company making voluntary adjustments to address the concerns of the non-GMO farming neighbors, I'm joined by Alicia Kemp of Dow AgroSciences and Steve Smith of the Save Our Crop Coalition. Alicia, I want to start with you. Tell us about Dow AgroSciences and your responsibilities.
Sure. Dow AgroSciences is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Dow Chemical Company, and we are the agricultural unit that provides products and services that is designed to help our customers and the farmers trying to produce ag commodities around the world. We provide seed and crop protection technologies.
How much of your seed business is genetically engineered?
Well, our company is divided amongst our businesses between the seeds and crop protection division. Probably 20 to 30% of our business is in the seeds area, and most of that is genetically engineered seeds that are available. But we base on what the market needs are, and currently in the U.S., upwards of 90 to 95% of the corn and soybeans planted in the country are genetically engineered, and so we try to provide those options to our growers, but we also have some non-GMO seeds as well.
What are the primary crops you produce seeds for?
For seed offerings, we do corn, soybeans, cotton, sunflower, canola, alfalfa, and some cover crops, not sell vegetable seeds.
You have a wide range of plant protection materials?
Exactly. We have an extensive portfolio of different herbicides, pesticides, fungicides, insecticides across many different crops. So just your traditional row crops, corn and soybeans, wheat, but we also have products for tomatoes and grapes. And we also do a lot of products for vegetation management. Range and Pasture is a large business of ours as well that provides quality pasture grazing areas for livestock. So we have a pretty diverse portfolio in the crop protection division.
Well, now let me go to Steve Smith. Steve, you are a farmer. You've got plenty to do. What led you to create the Save Your Crops Coalition?
Back all through the mid-2000s, we were starting to experience quite a bit of problems with off-target movement of Roundup glyphosate, where people had just started really using it as a new technology on almost all their crops and got a little careless at times with how they were spraying and the wind direction and everything. And we were experiencing some pretty good crop injuries here with my day job with doing tomatoes. And because of our experiences with those crop losses, when the new technologies were on the horizon, we saw an additional threat to our supply chain of fresh tomatoes coming because of if it was this bad with glyphosate, what's it going to be when we get new compounds on the market that may have other characteristics that would make off-target movement more frequent? So, and at that time, then, we got together with other interested parties and stakeholders, and we figured that it was a lot better to try to get out in front of this thing than to fight it after it all happened. And so that's what led to the beginning of the Save Our Crops Coalition, and it's been a good group to work with, and we think we've been pretty successful.
Is it safe to say that new plant protection products have to be developed because sooner or later a product like Roundup won't be effective any longer, that weeds will just become resistant?
That's correct. So think about it in terms of your own health. If you continue to take the same antibiotic every time that you get sick, you'll eventually have resistance to the antibiotic and it just is not as effective. And that's what's happened here with the use of the Roundup and the glyphosate systems. They were excellent tools for farmers that allowed them to have more management over their fields and controlling the weeds. Farmers really never had those options before the use of these Roundup Ready corn and soybean and cotton. But that's been almost 20 years ago now, and it's been shown that these weeds are becoming resistant to the effectiveness of Roundup. And so there's been need for providing farmers some additional new tools so they could combat these weeds and maintain these yield increases that they've been experiencing for the last few years.
Steve, in the years that Roundup was effective and killing weeds, or when it's not quite as effective now as it used to be then, but in those years, were there a lot of cases where there was drift, where Roundup was going into fields and killing crops, getting on crops that it shouldn't have?
We were experiencing between 8 and 10 cases a year, and between 2002 and 2015, as a company, we had experienced $1.8 million worth of loss attributed to off-target movement, mainly always Roundup glyphosate. So, yeah, it's a big problem. It doesn't happen all the time. Most of the time, applicators are careful and try to do the right thing. But every now and then, why people don't pay attention or make a slip up and apply during conditions that allows it to move off target. That was some of the emphasis behind another movement that took place about that same time called Drift Watch. Then now it's called Field Watch to list things in a sensitive crop registry so people would be more informed about where sensitive crops might be. And that was kind of where that was born out of also. So all these things was trying to be proactive to try to prevent this. But when we saw some of this new technology where it's not glyphosate, glyphosate doesn't have some of the other issues that traditional 2,4-D or dicamba had as far as the ability to volatilize and move even after the direct application. When we saw those things happening, we were real concerned that our losses were going to escalate in a big way.
Elisha, are 2,4-D and dicamba two different products?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they're two what we call different active ingredients, but still with the same results of controlling broadleaf weeds.
Are 2,4-D and dicamba combined into one product?
No. Our company, Dialga Sciences, is the one that has developed the 2,4-D tolerant seeds and a weed control system called Enlist. And then another company, both Monsanto and BASF, are the ones that created the dicamba tolerant seed system. So they're two separate crops, and they're not tolerant to each other. So the Enlist 2,4-D tolerant seeds is only tolerant to 2,4-D, and the dicamba tolerant seeds is only tolerant to dicamba.
Steve, was 2,4-D a bigger concern than dicamba or Roundup?
2,4-D was a concern, but it was not the same level of concern as dicamba, just mainly due to the characteristics of the two compounds. 2,4-D does have the ability to volatilize and move, and then everything is subject to direct drift if you're spraying in the wind with the wrong direction, or if you use the wrong nozzles or pressures and things like that. And so we were real concerned about that, and so we started dialogues with both Dow and Monsanto about this, and I even served on the Monsanto Dicamba Advisory Council for a while in trying to guide the release of these things with regulations and rules that made sense and that would allow the use but also provide safety for the specialty crop industry. The outcomes of those forays with the two companies were vastly different, and that's probably why you have Alicia and I here today.
So working with one company was not a good experience, and working with the other company was a good experience. Alicia, it's going to be back to you because it sounds like Dow was the company that was a good experience. It seems that you would normally be working with the Environmental Protection Agency and USDA and other agencies directly when you're working on a new product. Was this new and different to be also working with the farmers to be sure that you were coming up with a coexistence plan that was going to be addressing all of their concerns?
No, it wasn't necessarily anything new, but we definitely enhanced our effort because of these specialty crops that we know are grown nearby, the row crops. You know, they're also our customers, and we supply them with various crop protection products. And so, you know, it's not in our good business interest to want to introduce one technology that's going to be damaging to another. And so I think we kind of coined it internally as our good neighbor policy. And when I started with the company almost 7 years ago, when I first found out that we were going to be bringing forth this 2,4-D system, one of my first calls was to Steve, because I know that I wanted to get input from the specialty crop community and hear from them and find ways that we could try to launch this successfully without bringing injury into our neighbors.
Steve, it sounds like it's a good thing that you were there for Alicia to make that call.
But we had been active in raising these issues all along, and with the advent of the Field Watch Drift Watch program, which Dow was involved with, that we had a lot of connections in trying to do a good job of stewarding all products, not just these new things. And so it was a natural fit to get together and talk about what our concerns were with the new product.
Alicia, you reached out to Steve. How did you put this issue on the table?
Yeah, we were early enough in the development that we were still able to make changes and enhancements. And so, you know, we knew that we were going to bring forward this 2,4-D tolerant seed, but even though 2,4-D has been around for, you know, over 60 years, and we knew it was effective and it was going to have great weed control, we also knew that it had been around for 60 years, and we could find ways to make that herbicide even better. And so our R&D folks, you know, really spent a lot of time and effort to make sure that we could enhance that the new 240 product that we were coming out with called Enlist Duo, and make sure that it was going to reduce the volatility, make sure that it was not going to have potential for off-target movement. And, you know, like I said, we wanted to make sure if we're going to bring forward a new seed, we wanted to have a new crop protection product to go with it. And that's where the feedback we got from Steve and others in his industry and grape growers and the like was really helpful for us to understand what their concerns were, so that as we developed our new product and our stewardship program, that we could do that in tandem and try to address their concerns at the same time, so that we weren't coming back and having to deal with issues after the fact.
Is off-target the same as volatility?
Yeah, so off-target really, I guess, is kind of the overarching term that means volatility or drift from the product that's been applied. So when we were developing Enlist Duo, we wanted to make sure that we were developing a product that when you applied it on the field, it stayed on the field and did not move off of that field to an unattended target like a tomato field. And that's really why we also branded our management system called Enlist Ahead. So it's a whole package. When our farmers buy the Enlist weed control system, they're getting Enlist Seed, Enlist Duo herbicide, and the Enlist Ahead management resources to make sure that they can be good neighbors.
Steve, how would you define this process, working things out with Dow?
It was kind of a long process in terms of we just didn't meet and hammer out something and next week we have an agreement. This happened over the course of in excess of 9 months. And so we had, I don't know how many meetings we had. We had a lot of phone conversations, a lot of emails back and forth about, you know, if this is a problem, if we did this, would that help with that? If we, you know, and then I would say, this is a problem, we need to try to do this, and they might come back and say, you know, that's just not going to work with the marketing program. And so we each had good ideas, but I think the biggest thing was that we just kept talking. We didn't let a barrier get in the way and stop the progress. There was always bumps in the roads when you do things like this. I can remember just about 2 or 3 weeks before we was done, some attorneys got involved from the company and all the goodwill that we were making with each other almost went out the window. But between all of us that were trying to work the system and try to make things better, that had an eye on what the outcome should be. We got through all those bumps, and reasonable changes were made on their end. Changes were made on our request, and yeah, we're real happy with the way it's come out. And both sides have held to the agreements to a T, all the way to every exclamation point or period.
Well, it sounds like you need to keep the attorneys out of the room. And I've been wondering about who all is at the table. Now, it sounds like you really didn't have the agency people there, that it was Dow and the farmers. Is that how it happened?
I think that was the beauty of this endeavor. You know, as any farmer will tell you, that the least government involvement you can have, the better. And we'd say that was true for this as well. It's something that we took on our own because, regulations not necessarily are always the answer. And so if we could find an approach that would have worked for all the parties on our own without having to get government involved, it was going to be the best result. And actually at the end, it was EPA that said, hey, you know, we're really impressed with how you guys have both come together and agriculture worked out their concerns without trying to get EPA involved, and they were really appreciative of that. And so we were glad to, get some goodwill with the EPA as well to show them that, you know, we want to be good stewards and not give agriculture a black eye.
You really are plowing new ground here, if you will. Weren't you taking some steps that were beyond what EPA might have required you to do?
Right, yeah. So, you know, it was a lot of give and take, but at the end, you know, we think that the farmers who use the Enlist system will realize that these are more benefits, I think, in the long run, if they take just a few extra steps and be cautious about how they're using the product versus some of the negative outcomes that could happen if they try to do things on their own or use it in an older product. And so, like, you know, one of the agreements that we had come to was farmers who use our Enlist seed will only use our new Enlist Duo herbicide, because a lot of effort had went into designing that product to make sure that it stayed on the field when applied and didn't have the potential to move into that neighboring specialty crop field. And so, yeah, we could have, try to let that go and let farmers use any product, but we knew to be a good neighbor that they needed to use the enhanced product.
Would it be costly to the company to work it out like this? Instead of being more hard line, I'm just wondering if you would have made more money had you not tried to find this middle ground.
Oh, it's hard to say. Probably in the short term, maybe it would have been more advantageous for us. But long term, what would that have done to our brand and to our reputation and to the farmers who were using our product? If they were going to be hit with a lot of off-target issues and damages, that wasn't going to bode well long term for this new product and the viability of people wanting to use it long term.
Well, Steve, they're certainly getting the benefit of your organization and yourself saying good things about Dow AgroSciences. You've been saying it here today, and I've heard you in other places talk about having disappointing experiences working with companies that didn't want to sit down and roll up their sleeves and try to find solutions. But you seem to be very happy with the way Dow AgroSciences has tackled this issue.
Absolutely. I describe regularly our experiences in dealing with the different corporations that's been doing this and talking about the differences in culture. And I could not be more highly impressed with the culture of honesty and forthrightness that Dow put forth in working this whole system and putting it all together and working with us and answering the concerns, so that when a person will use their system, if they follow the directions, follow all the label, it will be impossible to have an off-target movement. And that's what we were aiming for, and we ended up getting there.
The Secretary of Agriculture has created a committee on coexistence, and it was primarily looking at the organic industry and conventional agriculture being side by side and what were the impacts of a number of things, including drift, no doubt. Did organics figure into any of your conversations?
Yeah, I think anyone that is going to be, a neighboring field to our Enlist system was taken into consideration. So it just wasn't tomatoes or grapes and things like that, but even, the organic producers, we understand that they need their protections as well, because they're raising a different commodity for a premium, and we didn't want to impinge on their efforts. So that's all of those different groups we've been working with, a lot of individual meetings, going to their industry meetings, trying to build awareness and relationships so that we can all work together and make sure that these are compatible and like the term says, coexist with one another.
Well, Alicia, I'm wondering if this is hard-baked into your corporate culture now. How much this good neighbor approach and the success you've had working with these concerned farmers on the new products, the farmers that aren't using GMO products, how much that might be affecting the way that you look at other products that you're rolling out?
I think it's only served to enhance it. That reputation and culture has always been with Dow AgroSciences, and we've been very proud of that. But this effort bringing Enlist to the market has shown that the dialogue really does matter. And so it's been fruitful as we try to work on other products and the new systems coming forward. We'll continue this model. This was a really large endeavor on our part. We've never really launched a weed control system like this before. It's really a first. So we plowed a lot of new ground, pardon the pun, but we've shown that it pays off to work with everyone. And like I said, we make products for these other producers as well. And so we want to maintain those relationships and continue good lines of business.
Steve, when you work with other companies now, do you try to point out to them the success that the approach that you've used working with Dow AgroSciences and trying to get them to take similar approaches of sitting down and making sure that they're finding out what's fair to all sides?
Oh, absolutely. It's been a focal point of all the conversations. You can say, look, this is a problem and this is how we solved it. We still have this problem with what you're doing. You know, let's talk about this. And I've been marginally successful with one company that, while maybe a little late to the table, got there. We're still struggling with another. And this has been a jumping board to start conversations and to guide conversations and almost sort of say, look, we know this can be done because it's already been done. You know, it's time you guys take a look at this and get on board.
Steve, who are your allies when you're approaching this issue? Are you finding help from the general farm organizations, from the commodity councils, NGOs, consumer groups? Who's willing to stand up and join this with looking at coexistence and issues such as drift that you're addressing?
It varies. Many of the regular commodity organizations have not been a big fan of what we were doing. You know, a lot of those groups had interests that were only on my, you know, what happens on my side of the fence. I don't care about what happens on your side of the fence. We've got this problem. We're going to fix it, and this is how we're going to do it. And if there's some damage, maybe it's within an accounting company's realm of what a damage loss might be. And that's going to be too bad if there is some damage. It may only happen 1 or 2% of the time, but if that's your 1 or 2%, that's pretty darn important. There are a number of great organizations. We have people like the Indiana Vegetable Crop Growers and Pennsylvania and Ohio, many of those types of organizations, many of the professional groups of processors have taken this mantle up and worked with us closely, Midwest food processors, groups like that. There's a lot of NGOs, pollinator groups, things like that that have really been concerned about what might happen to loss of pollinator habitat with some of these movements off target. So there's been a lot of groups like that that have been very positive. Most of the major commodity organizations and farm organizations have either not paid any attention to what we were doing or actively opposed us.
Alicia, a lot of people wouldn't know the first place that looked and how to reach out to a big company like Dow AgroSciences. What do they do if they have a question or concerns or they want to initiate conversations with the company? How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, calling our 800 number off of our website at www.dowagro.com, we'll get you to the right person, believe it or not. It's not just an empty switchboard. But we also have other people we've added to our staff that specifically work with industry. So we have an industry relations manager. We have a food chain manager where their sole job is to work with the food companies and other processors as part of the value chain. Because we understand that it doesn't just stop at the farm gate with the farmers, that the end consumers are also have questions and want to know more about where their food comes from. And so that's been a big effort of ours to work with those relationships as well. So we'd be happy to have those dialogues. We encourage it, and we've been trying to get out and talk with as many people as we can. So we would appreciate any contacts people might have with us.
Steve, what's your takeaway from this journey?
I think there's a lot of people that are content to sit back and let something happen and then complain about it after the fact. I think that you've got to be on top of your game and looking out for threats that are going to come your way. And it's way easier to deal with those sorts of threats before they actually happen. Once things get entrenched and in place, going backwards is nearly impossible, and then it's too late. So I think the takeaway is that you've got to be at the table. You've got to be making contacts with people all the time so that when issues arise. You never know when that might be, and have a good networking of people that you deal with. And then when things arise, why, you've got to be able to step up, put your network together, and try to make a difference for your industry, and in this case, our company, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely paid off in the end, and I think we brought a good product even better because of their suggestions.
Well, it's appropriate that we wrap up this episode of Farm to Table Talk with encouragement for people that have differences of opinion to sit down at the table and work them out just as you have. I want to thank Steve Smith with the Save Your Crop Coalition and Alicia Kemp with Dow AgroSciences for being on Farm to Table Talk. Thanks for listening to Farm to Table Talk. Join us again on Facebook or farmtotabletalk.com, where you can follow us on SoundCloud, or go to iTunes, where you can subscribe to receive regular podcasts. And while you're there, please give us a review and a rating on iTunes. Thanks again for listening to Farm to Table Talk.